Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 22nd of May, recording at 5:04 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, that's earlier than usual, but I have a function this evening. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights for the week. In terms of global stock markets, it's been mostly a period of consolidation, but markets have been quite steady within this phase. Long-dated government bonds have been weaker pretty much across the boards. The U.S. dollar has been weaker, and that's probably against everything. And gold and silver have been strong. Platinum and palladium have certainly firmed, as have all of the industrial metals. Most of the agricultural commodities are also quite firm. Soybeans been one of the best overall. And crude oil has been very, very steady. Pretty much unchanged here today, near the $61 level. Natural gas, which had been strong, has given up a bit more of its gains. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, there are several big important points in my view. And one is the fact that the bear market very much appears to be over. Now, we've been stating that for some time, and not wanting to bore you with too much review, but I'll just step back for a moment and say that it is always the view of Fuller Money, frequently stated, that the activity that we saw in September, October, and carrying on into early November was climactic, a selling climax, and that was after an already very substantial downward move in global stock markets. It was one of the biggest and sharpest falls in market history, exceeded perhaps only by, I'm talking now about that September, October, and early November meltdown, exceeded only by October 87 and perhaps and the crash back in 1929. So, that terrified everyone, not surprisingly, but selling climaxes are the beginning of the end of the bear market, although you don't see much in the way of recovery, because you get mostly ranging base formation development, during which the stronger markets fundamentally, such as China and Brazil, begin to edge higher within their ranging patterns. And the laggards, such as the OECD countries, including the U.S., of course, drift down to new low ground to reflect their overall weaker prospects, but they don't go that much lower. And subsequently, we've seen some dramatic Type 2 endings for these stock markets. That's the extreme reaction against the prevailing trend, where we've seen this very, very persistent and consistent stock market rally that bears little relationship to what we see with bear market rallies. So, as far as I'm concerned, the technical evidence is compelling. There's always a yes, but. People always want additional confirmation. We haven't seen, for instance, for those fundamentally weaker OECD markets, we haven't seen a big reaction, or correction, most people would call it. And therefore, those indices have yet to establish an important higher reaction low. fair point, but my hunch is that the performance was so outstanding that I'd be reasonably confident that on any correction that Wall Street saw, that it would find support above the March low and then eventually range back up and take out the highs that we have seen to date. Fuller money themes have led all the way, and the key ones for us really are the Asian emerging markets. We include India in that subcontinent. So we're talking about Greater Asia. We like resources markets. The clear leaders this time are the South American resources markets. It was not the case back in 2003. Australia was the leader. Canada was one of the leaders back then. They look okay, but the South American resources markets are the dramatic leaders this time around. There's an obvious synergy there. Let's take China and Brazil. China is the biggest consumer of resources. Brazil is the biggest consumer, a producer of resources in aggregate, and China is Brazil's biggest customer. Now, we also like global infrastructure development. That's an important theme. As you know, we like the commodity markets generally. That takes us back to resources. And we also like technology. And technology historically is a leader. And I think one of the things that we are seeing right now, and one of the reasons why I think stock markets are doing so well, is that while the economic background is diabolical, albeit less so, that what are companies doing? Well, they are increasing productivity. How do you do that? Well, the painful way for many people is that they reduce labor, and the more beneficial in terms of everyone method is to improve their technology. So we're seeing a lot of that, and it is typical of what we get during and following difficult recessions. So the better companies become leaner and meaner. Of course, there are also a number of companies that suffer mightily and actually go under during any kind of severe recession, and this is about as severe as you get, short of a depression, and it certainly is not a depression, nor is it likely to be. In our view, as we've said all along, given all the quantitative easing that is actually taking place. Now, I've nominated stock markets and commodities as the most likely candidates for the next bubbles. There will always be bubbles, and I don't see the next 10 years or more as being any exception to that. Now, in nominating stock markets and commodities, I will claim that this is an objective decision based neither on prejudices or preferences or any bias in my thinking. It is based on the chart facts. If we look at all asset classes, it is stock markets who are leading on the way up, not commercial property anywhere, not residential property anywhere. There are no exceptions to the stock market recovery. There are no, in terms of very good rebounds off the lows that we saw in the fourth quarter of last year, and for some in the first quarter of this year. And so these markets are streets ahead. They're outperforming art markets and other collectibles. And this is, I guess, not all that surprising when you think that corporations are improving their productivity. And then you take resources. Well, there are scarcity factors for a lot of them, and we all need commodities. Commodities also are a hedge against the surplus a fiat currency. Talking about bubbles, we have a massive bubble in fiat currency, but that's not something that one can invest in. One can hedge against it, and that takes us to commodities and stock markets. Long-dated government bonds are certainly not outperforming in here. So, Fuller Money's candidates for the next bubbles will be, stock markets, global stock markets, and the commodities. Which among those two categories will be the actual leaders? Well, look at the charts. The stock markets that have seen the best percentage gains, or the stock market sectors that have seen the best percentage gains off their lows to date, are generally those that bottomed last year, not this year. They bottomed in October, or a few of them in November. And what's been the upside leader? Gold shares, and they're very much in form here today. That brings us right back to the commodity theme. But Fuller Money themes, fortunately, have led across the boards across the board in terms of this relative strength among global stock markets. I don't really like the lagging stock markets, mostly OECD countries, that much. A number of people who live in those countries are subscribers, and some of them prefer to invest in their own countries. That's your business. But if you do, I would choose the shares that have an international portfolio, an international profile. I would favor those. Multinational companies that derive a lot of their business from outside the USA for American investors and outside Europe for European investors. Okay, the situation right now is that global stock markets are arguably overdue for a reaction and a consolidation. That doesn't mean it has to happen. If investors anxious not to miss out on further gains help to fuel higher levels at a time when bear traders continue to be burnt in terms of their short positions. So the markets are going to do what they're going to do, to coin a banality. But if we look at the chart patterns, and I certainly recommend that you do, we will see on daily charts for most indices a ranging step sequence of these small sideways trading ranges, one above another. It looks like a ladder or a staircase. And on the weekly charts, you just see mostly consecutive weekly rises in here. So the daily charts are helpful in monitoring the momentum of this current move, which is slowing in some instances, but it hasn't broken down. And I've mentioned before that to indicate a multi-month pause, not just a pause of a week or two or a few, but a multi-month pause, we would really need to see the sequence of higher reaction lows that are visible on the daily charts broken. Now, I mentioned last week's lows, and they would have to be taken out on a closing basis by a number of leading markets. The S&P, I think, briefly took out last week's, or broke, exceeded last week's low on an intraday basis, but not at the close, and it subsequently firmed once again. So that's pretty much the background. I think psychologically, subscribers should be prepared for this multi-month reaction and consolidation. It's not something that I'm selling any of my long-term investments in anticipation of. I have no interest in doing that. And if I had done that previously, when I thought the market was over a bit overextended, I'd be very disappointed now in seeing all of those positions move higher. So I maintain that we're still in the comparatively early stages of a bull market cycle. I'm not interested in selling my long-term investment positions. I did take out my leveraged trades in stock markets that I had used, and whenever we do see that reaction or correction, then I'll move back in. Now, if that were to occur sooner rather than later, it would probably be shallower. If, on the other hand, liquidity drives this market up in terms of additional meaningful short-term gains before we see any sort of reaction and correction of consequence, then it will be bigger in percentage terms. In other words, the bigger the rally, the bigger the reaction when it occurs is likely to be. That's common sense. It's like the elastic band effect. Stretch the market too far in one direction, you get a bigger pullback in the opposite direction when the change actually in supply and demand actually occurs. But again, I emphasize that this is still within the confines of what I believe is a new bull market, and I will treat it accordingly. In the last bull market, I was always a buyer following clear reactions and consolidations. And that's when people start to get scared. And that's the time to buy. Whether we're talking, well, particularly, I would say, within what is an overall upward trend, which we have at the moment. Gold, I've written a lot about this recently. And it does look to me as if it is in the latter stages of one of its very lengthy consolidations, which can last 18 months to a couple of years, even a little more, and that this is setting the stage for another move on the upside. That's hardly surprising given the lack of confidence in the US dollar, which is growing, and also given the creation of fiat money that we have seen worldwide. That's also bearish for long-dated government bonds. And you know there are far, far more long-dated government bonds that have been issued. Governments were quite successful in talking yields down through their promises or threats to buy their own debt, and then also given all the forecasts of depression that we were seeing and long deflationary slumps. Stock market, I beg your pardon, the bond markets and bond market investors are wising up in terms of what's actually going on. There's more noise than action in terms of the government support for their own paper, and these markets are weakening. They will weaken a whole lot more as we move into the next synchronized global economic recovery. And there will always be synchronized global economic recoveries, just as there are always global recessions. So, my preference overall is for long stock markets buying on dips. It is for shorting long-dated government bonds on rallies. I don't like the dollar, as I have mentioned before. The dollar will get its periodic rallies just like everything else. It had a big rally in that asset unwind that was occurring in really from sort of July, but mainly August throughout in through August through November of last year. But for all intents and purposes, the dollar peaked in November, although against a number of currencies, including the euro, it managed to push a little bit higher in February. But basically, since November, the November high onwards, the dollar index And the dollar's charts against most other currencies have been tracing out overall top formations. And now we're moving down, and we're perhaps halfway through a decline that will take us back down into the small base that formed back in sort of May, June, and July of last year. So I favor U.S. dollar shorts at this stage. I favor longs and precious metals. I've always said that one should accumulate those on dips, and I also like long commodity positions. And my favorite currencies against the U.S. dollar, well, pretty well everything. When you know, it's usually the dollar versus the rest, and that's the case here today. So one has been making money in almost anything against the dollar recently, and I think what we would need to watch out for, if we saw or as we see a bigger stock market reaction and correction, that may support the dollar somewhat. It's not guaranteed, but it's happened before, and so it may, that may be the knee-jerk response. We will see. Again, always use the charts in terms of timing and disciplined trend running tactics. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm away next week on my first holiday of the year. But that's only 4 market days, given the Monday close. I look forward to being back in early June and sharing with you our voyage into these in these fascinating markets, which I don't know how you subscribers feel, but I find that the markets become more interesting as I get older, not less so. Perhaps that's because I have a little bit more to play with in terms of capital for investing and trading. But I don't want to waffle on. I'll just say all the very best to all of you. Have a fantastic holiday weekend.